Thank you for you guys for showing up. Basically, the structure of the class is going to be roughly about 30 minutes of actual dealing with things and doctrine, and then question and answer, and then we'll be out of here by the end of the hour. So 6 to 7 on Sundays, but not every Sunday. We'll do about 6 weeks, but we'll talk about that at the end. So doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is basically teaching. That's all it means. It's just teaching. What's important about doctrine is that who has doctrine? Who has teaching? And you find out that everybody has doctrine. Everybody has an idea. It doesn't mean that they've been taught doctrine. It doesn't mean that, but they do have ideas. Sometimes where we grow up in our families and we learn things and we think that's the way things are. It might not always be the case, but that's what we've learned. So we find out that everyone has doctrine, everybody. Even unbelievers have doctrine. They have ideas that they've been taught about the church, about Christianity, about, especially when you start using words like evangelical or fundamentalist. They have ideas that they're being taught that's not necessarily right. So everybody has doctrine. But what is doctrine? What is it? Well, doctrine is what the church believes. So when we start going into doctrine in this class, we're going to be looking at what the church believes. We're not necessarily looking at only what BBC believes or what the Methodists across the street believe. We're looking at what the church, Big C, believes. And we're also looking at what the church teaches. Again, not only what BBC's teaching, but this is going back 2,000 years. So we're looking back at 2,000 years of what the church has believed and taught for 2,000 years. I don't know about you, but when I think about something being taught for 2,000 years, that makes me a little nervous. That's a lot of stuff. So here's the good news about this doctrine class. This is something that no matter what age you are, what point in your Christian walk you're at what stage you are in your Christian maturity, we're still learning. You're still learning, and you go back to these things, and you go back. I mean, 2,000 years is a lot of stuff to remember, and we're not going to be able to cover it in 30 minutes. So, what is it? It's everything that the church teaches and that the church believes. Now, I want to show you something, though. Let's turn into Scripture. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 14. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and he tells him, "You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate or complete, equipped for every good work." So listen what Paul tells Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, check this out. When you are going along your Christian walk, Timothy, I want you, this is what you need. This is what you need. Go back to the scriptures. Go back to the scriptures. Because that's enough. That's where you get the stuff that's enough to equip you for godliness. That's where you get the correction. It's enough." So when we find out what we're looking at with doctrine, what the church believes and what the church teaches, it's not what the church made up. So if you watch like movies, Dan Brown, he has these movies and books, Angels and Demons, or what's the other one that he did? Dan Brown, the Da Vinci Code, where they start telling you that the church started making up a lot of stuff 400 years after Christ was gone. Church made up stuff. Nuh-uh. That's outright wrong. We find out that people were preaching this stuff right after Christ died, they were preaching it. And then even after the apostles died, they were still preaching this stuff. And then even from then, what happened 300, 400 years later was that people, new people came along and they started saying, "We believe something different." And the church said, "Nuh-uh. That's not what we've always taught." So what the church believes, what the church teaches, that's the doctrine, the 2,000-year-old church, that stuff, that's what we're going to be going over. But why is doctrine important? Why? What is this thing? Are we just trying to learn a bunch of stuff, like a bunch of tools to keep in our back pocket that we don't ever use? Like, what is that thing? So we're going to be mentioning doctrines that we're never going to use, that this parts here that I'm not even sure. I mean, there's a toenail clipper in there, but there's other stuff in there. There's some plastic thing there that I don't have a clue what that's for. And then this is something here that holds up to keychains. Do we have doctrine like that? That sometimes you just have doctrine that you don't have a clue for, but you're like, oh, well, we believe it. Well, we're going to get to something like that. We're going to look at some of this stuff. But why? Are we just learning this stuff just so that we know things and to keep it in our back pocket for no reason? No. We have several reasons. And this is where we're going to look at some scripture, some more scripture, so that you may know. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Verse 14. Here's a reason for doctrine. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickiness of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. So here's a reason why we study doctrine, so that we're no longer little kids. Now, there are little kids here who are also learning doctrine, and that's good. When Paul's saying this about not being little kids, he's not saying, little kids, you're dumb. He's not saying that. He's saying, look at the littlest of kids. If you all turn around and you look at Logan, it's like jumping, 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 jumping. And right before everybody came in, he was running in circles, running in circles. He's red in the face because he's so hyper right now. Paul is saying, I don't want you to be like little kids that you just like, I don't know what to do. I just, I go everywhere. Carried and tossed around by every wave. Then the picture there is like of a boat on the ocean. So when a storm comes, the boat is on the ocean, and that is scary. There's nothing you can do. So Paul says, what's the reason that we learn doctrine? So that we may know what we believe. So that we may know. So that we're not like little kids running around, and so that we're not stranded in the ocean of doctrines, not knowing what we believe or what we don't believe. Here's another reason. Turn to 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Now, if it's okay if you don't catch up with where I'm turning, if I'm reading, what I am going to try to do, I don't have a handout for today, but I will be giving handouts at the end of the classes so that you have them to go back to as well. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. So why do we study doctrine? So we can eat, so we can be properly fed. Now, I've been dieting, and I've lost some weight. I was weighing 168 right after the holidays. Now, that's not a big deal to people. It is a big deal to me. I have a waistline that's a 33, 34, and after the holidays, during Christmas, I made this pot of rice pudding that was this big. And rice pudding, it's rice. Hey, it's good. It's sugar. Oh, good. It's sweet condensed milk. Oh, good. There is an egg in there and butter. It was amazing. You know how I was eating that thing? I was having a bowl for breakfast, like it was oatmeal. I was having a bowl for lunch and a bowl for dinner. After the holidays, my size 34 pants, I couldn't close them anymore. And I'm like, oh no, I got to start dieting. Dieting is one of the worst things ever. This guy, Glenn, look at that man. He's been dieting. He looks wonderful. Mike's been dieting. These guys look wonderful. And this is the worst month of my life. But here's what's important. I noticed that I was eating a lot of the wrong things. I was eating a lot of the wrong things. I love carbs. You can inject it right into my veins. I love carbs. I love burgers. Oh, man. Now, I didn't stop burgers. Let's not get crazy. And I didn't outright stop carbs. I'm on low carbs and diet. But the point is that when you want to eat and eat properly, you eat the right stuff. Somebody who's told, hey, check it out, you have a heart condition. You don't change your diet, it's over. What's that person going to do? They're either going to decide, well, I better die with a smile on my face, or they go, you know what, I'm going to die if I die with a heart attack, it's not going to be with a smile on my face. I'm going to change my diet. And they'll eat properly. Here Paul says that the word of God, that sound doctrine, That's proper nourishment. See, when we're taught things in the world and when we have ideas that we believe, that might not be sound doctrine. And Paul would say, that's the junk food. You got to get rid of that. You want to eat properly? Have sound doctrine. So why do we study, why do we learn doctrine? So that we can know what we believe and so we can eat the right stuff. All right, here's another reason. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense or give an answer to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You hear what it says there? Peter, speaking to regular people, he's not speaking to the teachers. He's not speaking to people who are super, super smart. He's saying, listen, you as a Christian, set Christ apart in your heart and be ready to give an answer. Be ready. You know, one of the worst things, I remember when I was in, years ago at work in New York, I had a couple of guys, one of them, he said, hey, you want to have a Bible study with me? And I was like, oh, that's fantastic. This is great. Okay, cool. I'll have a Bible study with you. And he showed up with this other dude at the Bible study, and these two were outright heretics. They were Jehovah's Witnesses or something. And it was like fighting, I don't know if you don't watch Star Wars, but it was like fighting a Dark Lord and his Sith pupil. It was impossible. I cannot give an answer. I respond to the young guy giving an answer, and then the big guy will jump in, and he's tearing me up. And it was so embarrassing. I don't know. I told you this, right? And I came home, and I was depressed. I'm like, that was crazy. I was shaking during the conversation. And after, and I mean, I was older already. I was preaching in the church, and I was like, man, I was not ready. I was not ready. And Peter says, be ready. Be ready. Why do we study doctrine? So that we can be ready. Sometimes, because the thing is, we'll be in the walks of life, and when the fight comes, you don't expect it. You don't expect it. And we're not going to be in a position where we're going to be there saying, whoa, 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 whoa. You're talking to the wrong Christian. I don't know anything about Christianity. No, Peter says, be ready. Okay, here's another reason. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your, my version says teaching, some of yours might say doctrine, and to your doctrine. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Man, that's wild. I know we're saved by grace. I know that. We're not saved by works. But here's what's important. When we're saved by hearing the word of God. We're not saved just because we're watching a commercial and it's just, hey, boom, we're saved. Oh, I was watching something about butter. Now I'm saved. No, it's the word of God. And what Paul is saying here is, Timothy, and now mind you, Timothy worked with Paul for years. For years. Timothy was going around all over the place with Paul. If there was anybody who knew what was up, it would be Timothy. And what does Paul say to Timothy? He says, you take care of yourself and be careful with your doctrine. Be careful with it. Give yourself to it. And stay in these things. Because when you do, you'll be able to save others. That's crazy. That's wild. But that's also a message for us. Why do we study doctrine? We don't study just to know things. We study because that's where where people can be saved. It's not just tools that we throw into the box that we don't know what they're about. They actually have a real all-out purpose. Let's look at this next bit. Go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now, true, Paul is speaking here about him and the apostles, but there is a broader application for Christians. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, Ray, it doesn't say anything about doctrine there, but here's the point. We are ambassadors for Christ. You know, when this guy in the news, I don't remember his name, when he was having a conversation with the ambassador for Russia, and he got certain information or whatever, and he said certain things and whatever, the country, when they found out, they said, oh, we were talking to Russia. We were having conversations with Russia. And that's exactly the point. An ambassador doesn't act by himself. An ambassador represents someone else. The ambassador for Russia represents Russia. The ambassador of the United States represents the United States. The ambassadors of Christ represent Christ. If we're representatives of Christ and we go out into the world and people ask us a question about Christ, what kind of representation is it if we say, I don't know, that's crazy? Or what about when you have a discussion with a Mormon? A Mormon believes that there's three gods. They don't believe that there's one God in three persons. They don't believe that. They believe there's three gods. And the Mormon says, we're from the Church of Latter-day Saints. We are the Church of Christ. And you welcome them with open arms. A representative of Christ? Representing someone who worships three gods and saying we're brothers? Oh, that's a problem. We need to be careful when we represent Christ. So we need to know doctrine so that we can properly represent Christ. So we know who we believe. We know him. And we can tell people about him. And we know the differences. When somebody else comes up and says, I'm also a representative of Christ, we'll say, what's your credentials? Oh, wait, you believe something completely different. You don't represent Christ. You must be representing somebody else. All right, this other bit. Let's go back. I have you guys jumping back between Timothy and the rest of stuff. But Timothy is so good. So this is awesome that we're going to be studying Timothy in the upcoming months. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Actually, this is so good. I'm going to start in verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Paul sounds pretty serious, right? He says, here's the charge before God, before Christ, before Jesus Christ's return, before his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. What's the reason? What's another reason that we study doctrine? To future-proof. To get ready for the future. You know, in my driveway, I should have done this. I see everybody doing this in their driveway before the winters in Connecticut. They fill all the cracks. All the cracks, they fill. You see them pouring in stuff. And then like around September, you see them sealing it. Everybody's sealing their driveways. And it looks so nice. I see the latex all over thing. It looks nice and black and crisp. And I'm like, oh man, I should do that for appearance sake at least. But they're not doing it only for appearance sake. It's because when the winter comes and the cold comes in, everything contracts. And then when it gets warm again, everything expands. And things crack. And you'll see, like, even in our driveway over here in the chapel, there's this big sinkhole that's dropped down. And you'll see some things happening in my driveway, too. Because I didn't future-proof. I didn't prepare my driveway for the things that were coming. Listen, guys. We need to be studying doctrine and teaching doctrine to future-proof those around us. So here you are, you might be you're a believer, and you're growing up, and you're sitting there, you're like, I'm a new believer. I don't understand these things. Well, that's why you study, to get ready for when the battles come. And then you might be an old believer. You might be somebody who's been in the faith for years. You're like, I know this stuff. But why do you study these things and tell people about them? Because they might not. And then they need to be prepared, and you're getting them ready for the future. Things are changing so quick. I mean, over the last 5 years, I had a friend about 10 years ago at my old job, and this was a good friend of mine, good friend. He was also homosexual, and he was a very good friend of mine. And then about the last 5 years, the kid completely hates me. Won't even return my phone calls. Why? Society really changed big time. Big differences in society now. Right now, I know that people who are older, they can't even imagine the things that change. They look around and they see this and they're like, this is crazy. And the kids growing up think it's normal. And imagine the next generation. We study doctrine so that we can prepare for the future. Now, that's going to make us look weird. It's going to make us look strange. But this is what this is doing. It's preparing us. It's preparing those around us. So for me, this is something that's, for confession right now, this is something that's been gnawing at me for years. So even in our old assembly, I had a little thing that I would call doctrine for everybody, where I was trying to have, it was doctrine for the little kids. And now I'm doing doctrine for everybody, for everybody. And it's something I'm passionate about, so I'm happy that people are here. Sorry for breaking the rhythm there. All right, so that's why study doctrine, so that we can know what we believe, so we can eat the right stuff, so that we can be ready to answer, so that those who hear us can be saved, so that we can properly represent God, and so that we can prepare for the future. Now, not all doctrine is the same. Sometimes we start to think, oh, we're going to be studying doctrine. Everything's the same level of super big importance. Now, it all is important. It's all important. But not all of it is critical to hold on to and to keep. There's some doctrine that you have that you might be able to have with other Christians, and then you might have differences. There's other doctrines that if you don't have, you're probably not a Christian. Let me speak about it in terms of a spider web. Years ago, I slept over at a friend's house, and in Pennsylvania, when you come out at night, there's these big red spiders. Like that big. I'm not even kidding. Their behind was this big round thing, and then their body, and then they spread out. And they made these giant webs between trees and things like that. They loved these big, massive webs, and they could catch insects all night. And by morning, they take apart the webs, and they're gone. Well, my friend and I were going out one night, and he had, in the entranceway of his house, he has like a vestibule, like something that you walk through, and then there was two trees, and it was dark out, and he was in front of me, and we walked out, and he felt the web, oh, the web, and I felt a little bit of the web, oh, oh, gross. We walked right through the web. It was destroyed. And when we got on the car, we're driving down the highway. My friend likes to drive 75 miles an hour going down the highway, and he goes, ah, I feel something. And he does this, and he flips his hand, he grabbed the spider and threw it. And then my other friend, it landed on the one driving, and he goes, ah! And he was wearing shorts, and it starts crawling underneath on his legs. Ah! And he pulls over, he flies towards the side of the road, and we come out of the car, and it's three men outside in the dark in the car, waving our arms and patting our bodies because we remembered that spider on that web and remembered seeing it. Some doctrine is just like that spider web, that it's right in the center and it holds a lot of things together. You walk through the center of that web, the whole web comes down. For example, if you believe that there is no such thing as God, you are not a Christian. You've destroyed a central part of the web of belief. You walked right through it. You're not a Christian. Even if there's people out there in the world right now who call themselves atheistic Christians. I don't even know what that is. There's other doctrines out on the edge of the web of beliefs. Some doctrines are out there. Which ones are they? I don't know. I'm going to use an example. But like the belief of Calvinism and Arminianism. That's what this guy, Vaughn, mentioned today. I think those are a belief that you can be a Calvinist, lose that belief, and then change to Arminianism. What is that? Oh, one person believes that God has chosen you and gave you the faith so that you can believe. The other person believes that you chose God, and in response to that faith, he saves you. Which one's right? Well, people have been arguing it for about 1,500 years. I don't know which one's right, but they're both solid Christian positions. You stop believing one, you didn't lose your faith, you can be the other. we also have to know that with this web of belief, we have to be careful on what things we put in the middle. What things we put in the middle. I remember going to a church once that I had to preach, and I asked them, I don't know why, I just asked them, I said, I have a New American Standard, and I noticed that in the pews you have King James Bibles. Can I preach from the New American Standard? And he was already handing me the King James Bible, and he said, no, preach from the King James. Okay, and I preach from the King James. Now, mind you, I study the King James for a lot of time. It's just that you have to do double explanation sometimes. So I have to do double explanation. Fine. But there are some Christians that take the King James Bible, and they say, if you don't trust that as the Word of God, and if you don't hold that center to your belief, you're not a Christian. So then what winds up happening is that they'll teach the kids that. A kid will go to a school, and they get convinced that, well, the King James Bible isn't right in some cases. And now they have the idea that if you don't believe the King James, you're not a Christian. That's a problem. We need to be careful what things we put in the center here. We need to be careful. So where do we start with doctrine? Where do we start with doctrine? In our last few minutes, like I said, this is only going to be 35 minutes and then questions. And I'm going to ask for some input here. We're going to start with basically the doctrine of God. That's what we're going to look at. And we're going to be looking at, it's about 6 weeks. It is 6 weeks. February 19th is today. February 26th is next week. We're skipping March 5th because that's the Elder and Deacons Forum. There's the 12th, 19th, 26th, and 2nd. Why do we stop here? Because apparently my baby can show up at any point here. Therefore, we're not having the doctrine class then. Afterwards, though, I mean, that doesn't mean that come April 23rd, then I can have the class. Laura will probably kill me at that point, too. But afterwards, then we have to decide. Like, I need input from you guys. Would you rather have it once a month? Do you rather have 1 month on, 1 month off? I'm here to do whatever you want, but I am going to do it. So I'll need input from you. So here's what we're going to be doing. So next week, we're going to look at God made himself known and God talks. On the 12th, whatever this means, God is God apart from us. The 19th, God is God with us. The 26th, truth about God's richness and truth about God's kindness on the 2nd. Now, some of you might have had this book. I can recommend this book. It's called Big Truths for Young Hearts. Big Truths for Young Hearts. It's a great book. It's by Bruce Ware. It was written, basically, Bruce Ware is a very, very, very smart theologian who used to tell his daughters and his kids things about God, and the way he did it, he did like a doctrine class for his kids at home, just like how he was doing it. Oh, man. Just like how he was doing in college, because he was teaching at college. But he did it very simple and very easy. This is the structure we're using. We're going to be using that book as a structure, so you can read that. I'll add to things in it, and I'll also take some things away and things like that. But that's the book that we're basically using. Do you need to get the book? No, you don't need to get the book. If you want it, you can get it.